Hebrews in chapter number 13, and of course we've been doing a study on authority, on biblical authority, and I think this has been a great time. We'll get to that. We'll get to it. All right, it's been a great time with our young people upstairs to be able to look at the authority, and certainly for them to be able to have an understanding of authority is important. But at the same time, I think in this place of our nation, it's good for us to understand God's perspective of authority. And many times, authority and things that happen don't fall out the way I sure would want them to. But at the same time, to have God's perspective of authority is very important as we look at things in our government. God establishes government just like He established the authority of the home, and just like He established the authority of the church. He has His hand over all, and there's nothing happening outside of God's hand. God is not just, head spinning up in heaven wondering how things are going to get put back in order. No. He's got full control. And when men step out of God's authority, listen, there will be a day of judgment, and God will bring all things back under His control. That is a surely set thing. No man is going to mess things up so badly that God can't get it under His foot, that God cannot put it under His foot. It will be put under His foot. And here's the thing, we can fight and fuss all day long for this earth and the governments of this earth, and this is what God said. Listen, one day that's all going to pass away. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. It's My word that's going to be established. It's My word that is going to last forever. And He's going to establish a new heaven and a new earth. And one day, and on that new heaven and that new earth, He will be the only rule. Amen? And so let's have confidence in that tonight. And look with me, if you would, in Hebrews in chapter number 13. We want to look this evening at the role of authority. The role of authority in our lives. Begin with me, if you would, in verse number 7. It says this, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." And so I would say that we can understand this in our primary context. This is speaking to the role of a pastor, but we also could understand this. It would be one that would have authority over you, maybe even a parent, that is guiding in godly admonition of the word of God. All right, so it could be one of those two roles, but it is a role that, of authority, that is teaching unto you the word of God. It says this, "Whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go, therefore, let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." We've prayed, and we'll get right into our study this evening. Again, we want to look at the role of authority, and it's important that we understand in the Bible that we have divisions within the Word of God, but we always have a context within the Word of God, and no verses of any private interpretation. We looked at that when we were studying hermeneutics and those things weeks ago on Wednesday night, but it's easy to take a verse at times as being independent of the other verses around it and just to hold it in obscurity by itself, however, in this study of Scripture, a verse needs to be, or in all study of Scripture, rather, it needs to be taken within the context that it is written. And as we read here in Hebrews 13, it seems to be that, I mean, on just a simple read, that we're looking at things that are somewhat disconnected. And the middle part of the text that we read, namely kind of verse 8 through 16, kind of just seemed like, well, how does that fit together with the idea of verses number 7 and 17? But we understand that verse number 7 and 17 kind of act as bookends for this text, that we can put them in context. So the things within verse number 7 and 17, come on, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. Number 17, obey them which have the rule over you. Say, well, what does the sacrifice and all that have to do with all of that? We'll get into that, but I want us to understand it's within the context of the idea of obedience unto authority and remembering those who are in rule over us is the context in which it is given. And we can look at those as bookends. If you want to, some people say, well, it's like two slices of bread and that's the filling in between. However you want to look at it, there's a main context here. And that main context is that we would observe this topic, that we would obey those which have the rule over you, that we would observe or be mindful of those which are in rule, that we would be mindful of those that are in authority. And in this passage, we're given some specifics about our relationship to them, to those who would be in authority or those who hold the role of authority. Number one, we're to remember them. The Bible says very clearly, you're to remember those that have the rule over you. You're to follow their faith. If someone has authority or has rule over you, you're to follow their faith. You're to consider the end of their conversation. When you come to making decisions and you say, well, the authority says to do this, the pastor, my mom and dad, they are telling me to do one thing, and I need to say, how do I determine whether or not I'm gonna follow through with what they say? You need to consider the end of their conversation, or we could say it like this, the direction of their life, in order to help you make a decision. You say, well, what does that mean, the direction of their life? Okay, is the one who is an authority, is the direction of their life Godward? And that their desire is to point you to say, listen, this is what the Word of God says. This is what the best, God's perfect will for your life would be. Or is there direction given in a selfish, this is what I want to see you do. This is what I want for you. And you're to consider the end of their conversation. Where are they headed? Are they headed in a direction that is pleasing to themselves or trying to please themselves? Or are they seeking the greater good of God and the greater will of God in the direction that they are given authority? And that's a marker to help us to be able to determine, listen, I need to follow this direction based upon the instruction, based on the direction that I see their life going. And the Bible says, listen, it'll be profitable for you if you'll do that. It'll be profitable for you. So it gives us some different markers there. In verse number 17, we're to obey them and submit to them that have rule over us. We're to obey them and to submit to them. There is a direction. If one is instructing us in godly things, and one is put in a position of a godly teacher, there is to be a submission that is there. I would also say this, and we can't leave this out of the equation, because there's been a lot of abuse of that of spiritual authority. Absolutely, there's no doubt is, and that people abuse that that office that God's put them in as a spiritual authority, and that can happen. In fact, if you go over to 1 Peter and chapter number 5, there's a specific instruction given to pastors that they are not to lord over God's heritage, but there's to be a submission by the leader, by a spiritual leader, just as much as there should be of anyone that would have the role of a younger. There's a submission of an elder, just like there's supposed to be submission of a younger. And so there's not to be a lording over God's heritage. It's not my way or the highway. It's but should be that my job is to direct all of us to God's way. Right. And if we can say, listen, this is God's way, then I'm to be submitted to God's way. Just like I'm going to encourage you. Would you just submit to God's way? Amen. And if we all just submit to God's way, then this is what's great is God's glorified. And we get to reap the benefits of that together. We get to reap the benefits of that together. If we'll follow after God, there is. So how do the verses found between these passages fit together? They give us an insight into what the role that authority ought to take in our lives, or in what areas that authority should be guiding us. In verse 7, we are to follow them and consider their life, where their life is leading us. All right, so we can look at an individual and we say, okay, where are they desiring to see me led? Are they desiring to see me led for their own glory, for their own purpose? Or is the primary desire of the leadership to lead us to God? And that's something that ought to be considered. And where their life is leading us is what those middle verses deal with, verses number 8 to 16. When we're looking at where our head Jesus Christ is leading us, they should be leading us to Him, just as Christ led us to God, who is His head, according to 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. Christ led all men through His sacrifice unto God. All leaders underneath Him should be leading us to Christ. That should be our desire. That should be our main goal. He should be the end of our conversation. Paul was very clear when he said these words, follow me as I what? Follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And so we need to consider that. Is this individual as a leader? Are they leading towards godliness, or are they leading towards selfishness, toward their own lust of their own desires? And that's a question we need to examine. You say, well, we should look at preachers that way. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm telling you, when somebody gets up and they declare, listen, God has given me a vision that I need $50 million so that I can have a jet that will get around the world within 24 hours. I mean, without stopping for gas. There's no possible way that I could be an able minister of God if I have a jet that has to stop for gas halfway between where I'm going. Come on. God didn't give anybody any vision like that. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that still gave millions of dollars to buy, I don't remember what that lunatic's name was, but they bought him a jet. They did. And he wanted to blame God on it. I'm telling you, that's kind of stuff that we might want to stop and go, yeah, maybe that might not be of God. Maybe that might be of their own self. And that might be an extreme case, but understand, those things go on in the name of God. And they have nothing to do with the work of God at all. It has to do with the selfishness of men. A leader should be leading us to Christ. Christ should be the end of their conversation. Notice that immediately the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is never changing. He is never changing, and He is the marker of our faith. And because He is, because of His perfect position, we are to follow Him. He is the apex of that which we should desire to achieve, and we are to follow those who have rule over us as they lead us to Him. And so if someone's listening, I want to defer towards Christ. I want to defer to the Lord. I want to lead other people to Christ. They need to be followed because they're going in a right direction. They're going in a right direction. They should be followed. That's why we don't need to mess with strange doctrines. It talks about In verse number 9, there's no point in messing with strange doctrines. There's no point in letting the internet be your pastor and every wind of change that comes blowing through or comes blowing down the internet. If someone is leading us to the altar, to the remembrance of Christ's sacrifice for us, and their desire is for us to glorify God in our bodies and with our lives and to lead us, listen, what would Christ do? And constantly turning us to Christ. And what would be the word of God's answer? And what would be the desire of God in this situation for your life? Listen, if their goal is to allow us to be pleasing unto God and to praise God and to be doing good works and to be giving and to be bringing God pleasure, listen, that's someone to follow. That is someone to follow. That's someone to follow after. This then brings us to why it's important that we follow them in verse number 17. We follow the example of Christ, his perfect example. He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls as they must give give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. According to this passage, authority has three primary responsibilities toward us and toward you. I as a pastor, have three primary responsibilities. If you're here and you're a parent, you have three primary responsibilities. Are you a husband? You have three primary responsibilities when it comes to authority. You are to give direction for for one's path. All right? Authority is to always give direction for one's path. Secondly, authority watches for us in a protective manner. That is the job of authority. And third, authority gives an account for us in respect to our reward. The authority is going to stand in account before God, according to verse number 17. So let's just examine those a little closer this evening. Number one, authority is to give direction to our path. Let's just address issue of authority in that manner. The Bible says that you are to obey them, in verse number 17, that have rule over you. And right there, I'm just telling you, the natural man has two great aversions. Number one, obedience. Right? I mean, that's just a difficult thing, just in general, for the fallen nature of man, and that we would be obedient in the first place to anyone or to anything, especially even God. That's a difficulty for us. But not only are we to obey them that have that have authority, but the Bible even says here, have the rule over you. I'm telling you, that goes against the nature of all mankind, and here we find a very great conflict that comes with authority. Number one, that there's someone that I must be obedient, that is over me, and not just are they over me, God placed them over me. Man, that's rough, right? I mean, some of us just have a problem being obedient to God, let alone people that we are very confident are far less than who God is. Come on. I mean, I would be one of those, far less than who God is. And so the idea of just obedience sometimes is difficult for us in our lives, let alone to just submit to the authorities that God put over you. And some kids are like, yeah, and I didn't even choose my mom and dad. You didn't choose God either. You didn't. But God is, and praise the Lord, he chose you. Amen. Amen. And by the grace of God, your parents will too. I mean, that's a joke. All right, amen. If you're still in their house, I guess they decided to take you home from the hospital. All right, praise the Lord. That those over you are going to tell you what to do can create great conflict many times in our lives. That someone is in charge that is not me, and they're going to tell me what to do. That creates a natural aversion in the human spirit, and from a little child, we can kind of fight that tooth and nail. We can fight that we're going to do it our way as opposed to the way mom and dad told us to do it, right? And we're going to have our way as opposed to being obedient to the instructions that that we are given. We are going to do what we want. I can tell stories on my kids. I can also tell many stories on myself, right? Probably more stories on myself My mother-in-law is always quick to remind me when we talk about our children ever doing anything wrong that they did not inherit that from their mother because she was the perfect child. She was a super sibling in her house and was just always the just a great. She loves to let me know that. But come on, I can remember from a little kid. I mean, the doing things. Dad said, "Listen, I don't want you to do that." I mean, I remember going through Walmart one time, and they had these. I mean, and I saw a guy, one of the old guys at church. He had one of those, you know, rubber, plastic, whatever, like things he kept his change in. And he squeezed it like that, and he always took some out and, you know, gave it to kids when he's coming by. And I saw one of those on the rack at Walmart, and I'm like, man, that's awesome. I could have one of those too, and I was going to buy it with my own money. And my dad said, "No, you don't need that. Let's go." Well, Dad went to the bathroom. I didn't need to go to the bathroom. Right? Now, my kids today, we'd make them stand like outside the stall. Don't move. If anybody talks to you, scream, you know. But then it was a little different in Smallville, Kansas, you know. So Dad's in Walmart. I ran through the line and got back by the side of the bathroom door before he ever knew anything wiser. And later that night, I was smart enough to show all my brothers and sisters what I bought at Walmart. Right? And Dad decided to apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge once again. Amen. I remember one time I was with him and we were in Chanute, Kansas, and my dad was doing a revival meeting, and I was the youngest and most special child, so I got to go. Everybody else stayed with grandma, but I was able to go with mom and dad. And so my dad wore bolo ties. That's why I don't like bolo ties or cowboy stuff in general, period, anymore in my life. But my dad always liked to wear bolo ties. Those are the kind of weird things that have the dangly strings there. They're odd. I don't know. And I love to play with them. I just run it up the string and run it down the string and run it up the string all day long. And my dad kept saying, "Listen, if you play that, you're going to break it. I want you to leave it alone." And so, okay. And so a little later, he'd catch me doing it again. "You play with that, you're going to break it. I want you to leave it alone." And then eventually I'd get spanked for playing with it because I was going to break it and I needed to leave it alone. And mom would slap my hands for playing with it because I'm going to break it and I need to leave it alone. And I just continually do it until I broke one day. We're in Chanute, Kansas. We're on a revival. And Dad went to get dressed that evening for church and couldn't find his bolo that I'd broken anywhere. And I had conveniently taken the broken bolo and I'd shoved it between the mattresses there on the bed and thought I had covered my sin perfectly. And he's looking around everywhere for his bolo tie. And I had forgotten to get all the string shoved up in under the bed, so it was just completely hidden. And he pulled it out and it's broken. And he was pretty confident he or my mom didn't shove it in between the mattresses. And their favorite child was the only one with them, because I couldn't blame a sibling. I'm just telling you, I mean, from a little child, we have an aversion to be obedient to authority in some of the most simple things of life. It should not be difficult to say, "Listen, you're going to break that. Leave it alone. I don't want you messing with that or playing with that." And yet that's the only thing my mind was consumed with doing. That's the only thing I wanted to do, was play with that, because you can't touch that. And that's generally the nature of man, that we like to see ourselves or involve ourselves in the things that we should not be doing. And so we have to understand that God desires for us to have an obedience, or to obey them that have the rule over you. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." You say, "Well, why is it that mom and dad or pastor gets to tell us what to do?" Because they're to cast vision. They are. I can sit there, and I thought about doing that. I'm not going to embarrass my kids tonight. But there are some things that we're constantly telling our children. We're constantly affirming to them, "Listen, we want you to be everything God wants you to be." No, I mean, we're constantly doing that. We're constantly trying to affirm those things in our life, that mom and dad's number one goal for their life is that they please God. I thought about making them ask, "What's mom and dad's number one goal for your life?" But I was afraid they, you know, like, they don't shoot anyone or get in, you know, go to jail. But but honestly, that's our heart's desire, is that they would learn to that they would love God and that would be pleasing unto God, and they need to Listen, in order for that to take place, there has to be someone that's sitting there and providing some guidelines, some direction. All right, listen, our number one goal is that we learn how to love God and that we learn how to glorify God with our life. And therefore, listen, we're going to set some boundaries. And there's going to be some consequences in this home. And there's going to be some discipline in this home. And there, come on. Why? Because we're trying to cast a vision that, listen, our goal is just not that we don't go to prison. That's not our goal. Our goal is not just that. Well, we don't want our kids to grow up and, you know, be murderers or, you know, no. We specifically want them to grow up to glorify God with their lives. And so that means there's a lot of things that listen, we can do in our life. I mean, honestly, sky's the limit of what God could call them to do in their life that would bring glory unto Him and could bring honor unto Him. Sky's the limit on that. And they got ideas of being, you know, being house painters. You know, Sean's helping Brother Byron painting houses. So you think, man, I can make a living doing this. And he could. And Olivia thinks she's going to be a culinary student at this point in her life. But honestly, listen, they could go out and do anything with their life. The goal is this. This is the parameters. We want to glorify God. And so therefore, we have some boundaries. And there are some things in our home that we're not going to allow. And there are some things in our home that we're definitely going to do. There are. We're not going to spend countless hours on the internet and on the video games. And we are going to be asking how your devotions went today. We are going to be asking, have you read your proverb for the day? How was Sunday school and how was this? And we're going to, we're going to be talking to them about those things. Why? Because we have a vision that we're trying to set for them, and that doesn't just take place. By us just hoping that one day they're just going to turn out okay. No, it's going to take some effort on the part of the leader in order to encourage and cast a vision for those who are following. I thought about doing this as well. I thought about even saying, just asking if anybody, like, what would, when you get out of your car, all right, maybe I'll do this. Just telling myself, when you get out of the car in the parking lot, what's the first thing we should be thinking about? Anybody? What's the first thing? Sean? Traffic. Thank you. Wonderful. See, I shouldn't have asked. Come on. No. As your pastor, the vision that we've cast, what's the primary thing that we should be thinking about? You say, man, when we get out of the car, we should be thinking about what? Good. Serving. That's all right. That's good. Helping yourselves. Humbling ourselves. That's good. But listen, honestly, I need to go in and edify someone. Right. I mean, could you stop and go like, some of you just went like, oh yeah. Right. And I push that. Why? Because I want us to have a vision, not that just we just show up at church, that we show up at church for the edification of the body. Right. And we emphasize that, we push that, and we desire to push that on you because it's a vision that if it takes place, listen, people are going to leave here and say, man, God's in that place. And we can find that in scripture that God works that way. Now, here's the thing. It is of a primary importance that a leader has a clear vision for what they are doing and that they impart the vision to those that are following them in a clear, distinct steps. Ideally, the leader's vision should come from God. Right? I mean, that's where it would say, all right, is this vision? Is this the thing? Are these things towards godliness, or would these things be found in the Word of God? That these are definitely things that we should be concentrating on and giving attention to. And we can look at a biblical example of that in the life of Moses, that Moses received instruction from God to lead Israel unto the promised land, and God gave him the vision. He was responsible to give it to the people. God talked to Moses. Moses talked to the people, and then they got things accomplished throughout the book of Exodus. And at the same time, listen, it was not Moses's plan, and it wasn't the children of Israel's plan. It was God's plan. God had given the outline. God had given the direction. It was up to them to follow after it. God had given him a vision. He was responsible to give it to the people. Moses' job was to seek out each aspect of God's plan and to put it into action. That's what his plan was. God, and listen, and not the people of Israel, ordered the steps of the children of Israel. Amen. In an ideal situation, that's how things would happen. That God said, listen, Moses, this is what I want to happen. And Moses went to the people and said, listen, this is the mind of God. This is the mind of God. That should be the same case in the church. Listen, this is what God's word says, and this is why I feel led of the Lord. And the people say, well, we want to follow the Lord. Amen. And same ideal in the home. The parents are seeking after God, and they relate, listen, this is the mind of God for our home. And that it would be God that would be leading and guiding and directing. It should not be that the kids are ordering the steps of the home. Amen. It should be that way. It should be that God's ordering the steps of the home, but God leads through ahead. He always has. He always will. And God wasn't bypassing Moses like, well, Moses is just in our way, so we're just going to go for God. No, God had no respect for that at all. God always led the people of God through the man of God that he had appointed in that place. That's how God did things. However, because Israel would not follow the leadership of Moses, which was ultimately the leadership of God, and I'm telling you, that's very clear in the scripture, that God wasn't talking to Korah. Come on, these are some stories. God was not talking to Aaron and Moses' sister. Her name is just out of my head right now. But you know the story I'm talking about, where they became lepers, you know, because they said, Moses, you're just taking too much upon you. Moses, we think that you're trying to be lifting yourself up in this thing. And God just made it very clear, no. I am leading through and only through Moses, because I've established him as the spiritual leader in that place. So listen, because they would not follow the leadership of Moses, which was ultimately the leadership of God, the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness an extra 40 years. Because they would not follow the authority of the leadership that God had placed over them, that was leading them to God, that was saying, listen, this is right, and this is what God wants for us, and they would not follow that. They grumbled, and they complained, and they had their own rebellion to the direction of Moses. And listen, it caused nothing but misery in the nation of Israel. Caused nothing but misery. When a person is in rebellion to the direction of authority, they will be miserable. They will. I mean, you find a teenager that is just, I mean, that has, I mean, nothing good to say, nothing good going on. I'm telling you, 100% of the time, I can point you to a teenager that has no care nor concern for their mother and father. They don't. It's not like, oh, the preacher's trying to be mean. No, I'm just telling you, if you find an unhappy child, it is because there is a lack of leadership in their life, or, come on, or there's a lack of fellowship in their life. No, come on. There's a lack of leadership, and sometimes the leadership in their life is not casting appropriate vision for them to be able to follow, is not pushing them towards godliness, is not pushing them towards obedience with God, and it's just letting them live however they want. It's either that, or, my friend, it is this, that they are in complete rebellion, just as the children of Israel were, to the authority that God had given them. It's going to be one or the other, and I'll dare say this, it's the same in the home, it's the same in the church, it's the same at work. You can go in every aspect of a place where there is an authority, and there are those who are subservient to an authority, and I'm telling you, it's going to be the same way everywhere you go. A person in rebellion to the direction of authority is going to find themselves miserable. They will also try to blame their misery on the leaders they refuse to follow. They will. Well, I'm telling you, if I was the boss around here, well, guess what? You're not. And God might keep you not the boss around there for quite some time until you figure that out. Just might. They refused to fall. Israel was always complaining about Moses. Always. You go read through the story the story of the children of Israel going from the land of Egypt to the Canaan land. They were constantly complaining about Moses. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 2, it says, now the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we would have died in the land of Egypt. And this isn't this is just one verse. They said this numerous times. Or would God that we had died in the wilderness. It must be Moses' fault that we are in the predicament that we are in, that we don't have all the water that we want, that we don't have all the food that we want, that we're having to eat this manna and we want meat. And now it's Moses' fault that we have too much meat. And it's Moses' fault that it's too hot in here right now. And it's Moses, I'm telling you, there was a miserable condition upon the part of the people, and everything that they faced, every hardship they faced, was always Moses' fault. And if we were, and their mindset was, if we were back in Egypt, we would be enjoying the privileges of what? Slavery. Yeah. It's all Moses' fault that we just can't be slaves around here anymore. Instead of having the provision of God throughout the wilderness and seeing the mighty hand of God work in some of the most miraculous ways. Yeah, it's all Moses' fault. We just have to wait on God. We have to be obedient. That Moses, just telling us to follow God and trust God. How dare he? What kind of leadership is that anyway? Well, let's just be patient and wait on God. That's not leadership. Could have let ourselves better back in Egypt. Yep, they sure could have, couldn't they? No, if Israel had followed the direction of Moses, if they would have been obedient unto him as he was being led of God, they would have inhabited the promised land 40 years earlier. Period. There had been a lot of people still alive in the land of Egypt when they got there, or in the nation of Israel when they got there, then died in the wilderness wandering around for 40 years. And God put Moses there to lead them and to give them direction, but they would not follow his direction. You can go read the story through the first through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and that's just very clear. People respond the same way to authority that God puts in their lives. They don't want to follow direction that they are given, and then they blame the authority when things go wrong for the decisions that they have made themselves, not that the authority made. And we love to sit and point fingers. And I'm telling you, kids do it, adults do it, employees do it at work, church members do it at church. The question is, listen, has the instruction we've been given yielded us to godliness and to a walk with God, or has it not? That's the question. All right, so is the instruction I've been given by my mom and dad, has it been given unto me that I might be able to walk with the Lord? Has the instruction that has been given to me from my pastor, has it been given unto me so that I've been enhanced my walk with the Lord so I might be get closer unto him? And so therefore, then my response is going to be one of obedience and one of submission, or mine is going to be one of disobedience and rebellion. That's really what it's all going to boil down to. Am I going to follow the leading that God has put in my life and the leadership that God has put in my life, or am I going to rebel against it? And only you can answer that question. And you can sit around and blame all sorts of people for the problems of your life. You can blame them for all the hardships you're having at work. You can blame them for all the problems. But listen, you and God know the truth. You and God know the truth. You and God know whether you've been following the leadership of authority or whether you're just doing your own thing. You and God know the truth. And here's the reality, that one day there's going to be an account given. One day there's going to be an account given. And look what it says, verse number 17. We're going to stop here tonight. We have two more aspects of this to look at next week. But for they which they watch for your souls. Say, well, they told me to do something. I didn't like what they said to do, so I just... Well, he said that he didn't think that was right, but I think it is right, so I'm going to do it anyway. Listen, for they watch for your souls, children. Mom and dad just don't know what they're talking about. This is a new day and a new time, and I'm going to live life the way I want. For they watch for your souls. Come on. That they may give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. I'm telling you, there's going to be a day where there's going to be accounts given. If you're in a place of authority tonight, you and God know how you've been leading. No, you and God know what direction and with what heart and with what attitude you've been leading. Husbands, God knows with what heart you've been leading. Moms, dads, God knows. God knows. Listen, and there's going to be a day where listen, we're either going to give an account. I, as a pastor, I'm going to give an account for my stewardship here and the leadership I provide here. Moms and dads, husbands, we're going to give an account because there are those in under our authority to which we're going to have to give an answer to. And I'm telling you, our heart should be this. Man, I better be pointing them to God. I better be pointing my children to God. I better be pointing my spouse to God. I better be pointing my church to God. Listen, and even in those things, listen, there's going to be sometimes that are just, I mean, just sad memories. Because people will not respond to the leading of God. Like I've given the truth. I've done everything I can. They will not respond. And I'm telling you, there are going to be parents one day that are going to give an account. They said, listen, I pointed every way I could to God, and they're going to do it with grief and not with joy. And there are going to be pastors, and I'm just telling you, all is they're going to be an account of God, because God gave them and made them a steward of authority, and he is going to hold them accountable for the authority that he has allowed them to have. And I'm telling you, it is no fun to do it with grief. It is not. But I'll also say this, that if I'm going to stand before God, I'm telling you that might be a grieving day. I definitely want to stand before God with this. Listen, Lord, to the best of my ability, I was pointing them to you. That doesn't make grief go away if children rebel. There's nothing about children rebelling that's going to make that grief go away. But to the best of my ability, I pointed them to you. As a pastor, to the best of my ability, I was trying to point them towards godliness. All right? That should be our heart's desire. And I'm just telling you, if you have authority over you, children, church, you have authority over you, wives, husbands, and it's trying to point you to godliness, and their main concern is not themselves, but that we'd glorify God and that we'd be obedient to God. I'm telling you, that's something to praise God for and to be thankful for. It should be something that we would desire. Listen, now I want this to be profitable for me and them. It's so clear. It's unprofitable for you. Are you listening to me, teenager? So, well, mom and dad just have all those rules. I know. And for your rebelling against them is unprofitable to you, and God is taking account. He's aware. Say, well, I just think, no. Look at Moses and the children of Israel. They suffered for 40 years when they didn't have to, simply because they didn't want to follow God, because they were getting upset with Moses. And ultimately, they gave an account before God. And that's where you will too. You will too. We need to learn the role of authority, and I'm telling you, and submit ourselves to it. And listen, we've already talked about this as well. As unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Learn the role of authority and submit to it as if it was God himself that just happened to pick, you know, your parents for you. Come on, think about that. Come on. As if it was God himself that knew the home that he was placing you into when you were born. Come on, you with me? Yeah. So as unto the Lord, I'm going to be obedient to that authority. As if it was God that said, listen, I want this pastor here, and I want this person here, and I'm going to give you this boss. No. As unto the Lord, I'm going to submit myself to authority and be obedient to it. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.